How well can you tread water, he said.
Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's Own Way. And we're going to be singing out a hymnal this morning of 255, Blessed Assurance. And we'll be singing 1 and 3, Blessed Assurance, 1 and 3. See if y'all can out sing me this morning.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
We're just talking about malign of Christ and stuff like that. We tend to lock the door around here. We're the Little Grace Church under law, so if you ever come and visit us, we're the most secure church there is, and probably in the grace message or in the world right now. So anyway, we do thank you for tuning in via podcasts and stuff like that. We got any prayer requests or praise items? I do want to share with my Aunt Betty that we had on the prayer list. She did pass away, and I couldn't make it down to the funeral, but I watched it online. That's one good thing now. You can watch things like that online. So just keep her in thought and prayer. Keep Tammy in thought and prayer. Keep our youth. We still call them kids, don't we? Our young ones. Our youngins. But just keep them in thought and prayer, the decisions they make, and also as we continue to lift them up. Lift her up. How's your wife doing today?
She's doing fine. Her knees are great. Just pray for her, that she can be the best she can possibly be.
Okay, all right. I know Walt mentioned about going through his sister's things, and we was talking about old pictures and stuff like that, and he's like, I like to ask him what went on like that. I just saw a picture of, I mentioned my Aunt Betty being, she passed away. My mother was sitting on the bed, Aunt Betty was sitting on the bed, and Aunt Doris was sitting on the bed, and they, in the 50s, and the way they was dressed, they was like, I'm like, was Mom pregnant? And my oldest sister goes, yeah, she was pregnant with me. My sister. So anyway, pictures can bring back some memories like, wow, And I'm a part of a historical society. I don't know if you, if whatever county you're in, you can get on and they show pictures of places like this town here. You mentioned that house on a picture, and you can go back and really see some of the pictures and it's like, wow, that looked like some good old days. But once again, you are living in the greatest days of your life right now, whether you realize it or not. You're saved, sealed, and sanctified.
Amen.
Even though the world looks cruel out there, it has been since the fall. And we talked about the four institutions of God in the past, that God ordained free will. He ordained marriage between a man and a woman. He ordained the family for stability and human government to protect those. So God ordained human government. Now, you may look at your government today and realize they seem like Satan's running it, but he's the God of this world, isn't he?
Amen.
But we talked about some things about the mind of Christ and who you are in Christ and all that. So keep Dan in my thought and prayer. Keep Nanette in thought and prayer. Keep Barb and Walt in prayer. Keep Julie always in prayer. It's good to see Jacob back there. We had you on the prayer list, man. We was going to send out the grace dogs after you. We're glad you found your way back home. You know, we if we put them crackers out there, you know, some other animal's going to pick them up. So, and Leon, it's good to see you. But anyway, anything else that we need thought and prayers on? Don't forget about the 27th. We'll have a we're going to have a little luncheon here, and then we'll do the Lord's table afterwards. So. That time we'll have a little fellowship. So bring your best salvation stories. But yes.
I'd like to have praise on my grandson's a freshman at YSU, and he made the dean's list.
Okay, very good.
So.
Yeah. You know where our YSU is, guys? Youngstown State University. They got a university out there. That's a good praise item.
Amen.
Keep our conference in thought and prayer. I did put out a few flyers, and I did add a nursery and children's ministry will be provided. So people's been calling me and asking, hey, are there going to be a children's ministry? And we do have a children's ministry up to 12 years old that's there, and a nursery provided. And everything at the Salt Fork Lodge, everything's in there. So if you stay, the conference center and all that is within that area. So please, if you're thinking about it and all, I know it's a little bit further to travel down than the Amish door in the past. But we're going to cut off March 31st is the rooms when we're going to turn rooms back in. We have blocked off 52 rooms and out of 150 there. It would be nice to have that whole conference center for that weekend, wouldn't it? If you think about it, 150 rooms and all. But this would be our first year at a state park lodge. So I don't want to say anything can happen, but we're not used to this area, or you might not be used to that area. It is Bigfoot area, Bigfoot country. So,
who knows? Big feet, you know,
the grass, so, man. Yeah.
Tom said, if you got big feet, you can't go. No, you're welcome there.
You may be a celebrity.
Yeah, you may be a celebrity. But anyway, who knows? If we run into them and give them the gospel, right? Let's go to word of prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for today. We thank you for the things you've given us. And now we think about the prayer requests and praise items and the conference ministries and even our own personal ministry that we have, that when we talk to people, that we can give them a true gospel of Christ that really liberates us from the age of law that we have been under in times past. And Lord, as we think about the ones that are sitting here and the ones that are listening, Lord, that they may be able to continue to glean something as we go through the Bible and the fundamentals of dispensationalism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 37, and we're turning into the book of Galatians. And you can go back on our website or YouTube channel, something like that, and listen to them. I would suggest that if you missed something. Many of you take notes. Many of you have the mind that they can comprehend some things, but most of all, you have the book, don't you? Mm-hmm. You have the Word of God, you can look at it, and we do. We are thankful for Grace School of Bible, the curriculum that we used, and many of you know that I am was a graduate student in 2004, and we've had this church here since 2005, and we've been preaching GSB curriculum since then. So many of you could probably say I've graduated over and over and over and over, you know, many times before. But I would encourage you, if you or want to be a student of the Bible and if you do that, you can contact me and I'll tell you how to do that. But anyway, we're in Galatians, and last week, as we was going through Corinthians, what do you know about the Galatians as far as when it Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians, their focus is what in the Bible? Was that
doctrine?
Doctrine, not only doctrine, but doctrine of what?
Justification.
Justification, or what's the main focus of those three books that we've been looking at? The cross. Okay? It points to the cross. And the Galatian people had taken up some bad doctrine, okay? And we know what the Corinthian people was like. They had some bad doctrine too, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And the Corinthian was Paul reproved their, remember why the book of Corinthians was written, to reproof their what?
Behavior.
Behavior, okay? They was doing some bad things there. Galatians, they had taken up some bad teaching, some bad doctrines, and they had departed from Paul. Now, you may not know anybody today that been saved by grace through faith, understood the simplicity of Paul's gospel, and departed Paul today. There's people out there, okay? There's people. I quit counting on my hands and feet and toes and all that stuff. The people that was in this message since Sherry and I came in 1993 was introduced to the dispensation of grace of God that no longer believes this. And I know some of you thinking right now, like, how in the world could you do that? You know, how? It's simple. When you leave the simplicity of Paul's gospel and think you're going to go find something that Paul didn't teach, or just tired of listening to Paul. Now, we don't glorify Paul, do we, guys?
No.
Who do we glorify? Lord Jesus Christ. But when you depart from Paul and start going on thinking about other things, you're very, very, you can be led down that path. And he said to them in Galatians chapter 1, and I hope you're in Galatians, that they had departed from God's grace as it was delivered to them by the apostle. Chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto what?
Another gospel.
Now, removed from who? Who would that him be?
Jesus Christ.
Think again. Who brought them into the gospel of Christ? See, they're not removed from Jesus Christ. They're removed from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because do you believe today that if you're saved, you're sealed and sanctified, and you can't get out of it?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to my son. We was talking to my son the other day, and he remembered since he was a child that illustration that I used to use, the fact that I took an ink pen cap. I said, this is you. You heard the gospel. Okay? This is God. He places you in him and seals you with the Spirit. Now get out of it. And them little hands are just trying to pry these fingers, and he couldn't do it. He remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get out of something that God gave you. Okay? I know people out there teach that you can lose your salvation, you're not doing right, you're backsliding. Backsliding. Thank you. is a Israel term. They backslided a lot, didn't they?
Yeah.
But what did God do? Come on now. Get with it. Come on, son. Walked him along. Grabbed by the hand. Gave him a little spanking. You know. But the one who called them into the grace of Christ, of course, is who? Who are we talking about? I just mentioned
Paul.
Apostle Paul. And they had left Pauline doctrine. And it's easy to leave Pauline doctrine. That's why Galatians is where it's at right now. And
Little H, big hint.
And the fascinating passage in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Look at that. Chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 12 says, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are, and ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." And verse 14, "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Verse 15, when is then the blessedness ye spake of? They're giving them a hard time there, guys. "For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." Now, you may not ever come across people like that, but there's people out there that loved you enough and the Word of God, you gave them the gospel, they would have took their right arm and gave it to you. Now what? Verse 16. "And I therefore became your enemy," because what? He got them in the gospel. In Galatians, he brought them into the gospel, but what did they do?
Turned on him.
He became an enemy. Listen, there's people out there that loves you as a brother, a real brother, like mom and dad, your brother. But when you give them the truth, what are they? Enemies. That's sad, isn't it? And the people that were troubling him, causing them to depart from Paul. Verse 17. "They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would excluded you that ye might," what?
"Affect them."
So what is it, guys? Are you going to be man pleasers? Or are you going to stand for the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to worry about what they're going to think of you? Oh gosh, I'm out of the club now. Or are you going to be what Paul is, stand fast? These are some big decisions that we have to make even in today. Now, Paul wrote this, didn't he? Long time ago. And it was affecting them there. And the people that was troubling them, like I just said, causing them to part from John. Hey, you better stay away from Paul. Hey, it's okay to trust Christ died for your sins, but you've got to be circumcised. Manner of Moses. If you ever want to know what was going on there, Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2 will tell you what they was talking about. There was Judaizers back in that day that said, hey, it's okay that you trust Christ Jesus, but you got to, unless you're circumcised as a manner of Moses, you're going to say. Paul's like, what? And then Galatians like, maybe that's true. Maybe we need to go back under the law. They wanted to exclude the Galatians from Paul's ministry. Hey, do you know anybody who wouldn't want to exclude you from because of your ministry out there in the world today? Wouldn't the world be a lot better if it was all just one denomination?
Mm-hmm.
But how many denominations are there out there? Thousands. And I've said this, and I believe wholeheartedly, you can find a Bible version for anything you want to believe out there.
Yeah.
Okay? And I mentioned this song last week, and I'm going to say it again. You know, you go to your church, and I go to mine, and we'll walk down the road together.
Hmm.
Now, does that make sense? Think about that. He says our fathers built these churches. Yeah, their fathers did. But you go to your church, I go to mine, and we'll walk the road together. I'm thinking, when you come to the Y, well, I'm going over here. Hey, we'll be down to the restaurant 12:15. I hope your preacher don't preach too long. I'll save you a seat. You know, that, things like that. It, crazy stuff. They wanted to put Paul out, separate between Paul and the Galatians, and put the Galatians back under the kingdom program. Do you know anybody that does that today? You're shaking your head no, right? You know people's putting people back under the kingdom program today and under the law program. And Paul says, don't you do that. Because to leave Paul's doctrine is to leave grace, and that's the whole issue. That's the whole issue in the Galatians doctrine. Now, the cross is mentioned in every chapter in Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us this from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now where did he do that at? At the cross. It wasn't in a manger. Mm-hmm. It's at the cross. Galatians 3:13. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the wall.
True.
It's a curse. Remember what your last word in your Old Testament says? Curse. That law is a curse, guys. That law never gave you any indication of salvation. It just kept you straight.
Law is the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Good and evil. So you think about the law out there. We, you know what I do for a living, and many of you go up and down the highway. When you see a sign 25 miles an hour, you do 45, right? And hope you don't get caught.
Gotta give it a push.
You know, the law's there for a reason. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoptions of sons. Chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. And I, brethren, if I have yet preached circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. Hey, if Paul preached circumcision, would he have suffered persecution with the Galatians?
No.
If you preach circumcision today in your own little ministry out there, are you going to suffer persecution out there?
Probably not.
No, you don't. Think about the 90% of the churches out there base their belief somehow, some way, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, what salvation, what deliverance is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38? When you got an axe and 2 38s on you to tell you what to do. You know, repent, be baptized for remission of sins, and in doing so, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's not the same as the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? It's not, guys. And people tries to force that in there. People tries to make it the gospel. It's not the gospel. You've seen that. We went over that already. You need to keep that in your frame of mind. Paul did not preach the circumcision gospel. He preached the gospel of the what? Uncircumcision. And I hope that when we went, what little we went through Acts, and we're probably going to go through the book of Acts before too long, and the fact that when you saw that it started with Israel up here in Acts chapter 1, when will you again restore the kingdom to who? Israel, that there was no body of Christ there. Mm-hmm. And you saw how God gave them 1 year to get it right. they're offering, they refused back over here. The kingdom was a hand. Repent for the kingdom of hand. And God died, was buried, rose again, came back with them for 40 days, taught them, and they gave them 1 year before this tribulation period was going to start over here. Did they take up the offer that God gave them?
No.
What did they do? Stone Stephen. So they fell, fallen, fell, diminished, and finally done away with. That gospel, the circumcision, was preached there. Paul didn't preach that gospel of circumcision.
You think the little flockers, these gospel of circumcision, are the ones that came into Galatia and tried to get them to do it their way?
I do not.
No?
I do not think that little flock, okay, did exactly what you took. Now, the apostated nation Israel, okay, the ones that did, that's who Paul went into. So when we talk about Israel, you got to divide Israel to understand they was a true believing Israel, and then there was apostated Israel that's here in this earth today. You with me?
Yeah.
So everybody is down here. God has not elevated one nation above any nation in the dispensation of grace. So those Judaizers we're talking about right here are the same ones that Paul says, I'll knock the dust off my feet. I'll go hence to the Gentiles. He done told them 2 or 3 times. So if you're under that law system, think about, and we might have shared this in the past, if you was a party member of a government and you've been in power forever, and all of a sudden this other group's coming in like they're exposing things, or like, no, you're free, you should do this, what would you think that governing party that's been
trying to shut them up?
Wouldn't you? I mean, you see that going on in the world, and even in the world politics, you see it. Hey, it goes on in the religious system. There's people out there, if you don't believe in water baptism for salvation, or water baptism for church membership, they will ostracize you. They will write things about you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait a minute. It says right here, by one spirit, you're baptized. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So they're, even in a religious world, even in a denomination system, you go to your church and I go to mine, you know, list the 90 churches on this side and list the one right here, they will attack you. One sprinkle. One pours, one submerge, and I stand over here and say, but by one spirit, and it's the operation of God. Those three that can't agree on those will turn and attack you.
It's the only thing they'll agree on.
Yeah. Okay, you know, it's almost like a truck driver. A lot of people ask me, hey, you truck drivers, you know, we're thankful for the... I said, look, there's only two places truck drivers will stand behind each other. One is the fuel island, because he can't wait to get in there. Two is the buffet line. You know, they'll stand all day at buffet line.
And the bridge over Canada.
So, but anyway, think about that. The people pick and choose, but the thing what I'm trying to say is, Paul didn't preach circumcision. You should not preach circumcision. You should preach the gospel of the uncircumcision. You should preach the gospel of the grace of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 11 says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be what?
Circumcised.
Only lest they should suffer persecution of the cross of Christ. They're not going to suffer. They're not, you know what? If they preach the cross of Christ,
they're going to suffer.
They're going to suffer. Verse 13. For neither they themselves, who are circumcision, What's those next three words?
Keep the law.
But desire you do, to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your... Hey, how many of you got baptized today? How many of your church have come up on the altar today? Oh, we had 33 show up today. We got 7 baptized tonight. That is a show of flesh. That's all that is. Numbers, numbers, numbers. I know 2 brothers right now. They're beating their chest about how many numbers they got. Who's watching them on YouTube? And that does nothing for the body of Christ, guys.
Amen.
Nothing. All they're doing is beating their chest. Now, I'll boast the fact sometimes we're in standing room only here. But if you hear, you're going to get a smile. You heard the giggles. They know. But what do we fly one flag here, don't we, guys?
Yes.
And if you want truth, to come visit us. But he says, he also says, what verse was that?
Oh, you're on 14. 14.
13.
Oh, it's 13. Sorry.
6:13.
But you should underline, in verse 12, you should underline make, the cross of Christ. Verse 13, they, and keep the law. Verse 5-14. But God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto
me,
and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And by the way, that's not born again.
Mm-hmm.
You're a new creature. Paul does never use that term, born again. And 3 times it's in your Bible, and it's in John and Peter. Now, I wonder who John was writing to. I wonder who Peter was writing to.
Mm-hmm.
The circumcision. So I look at circumcision as far as any type of works that you can do in the flesh to please God. So the cross is the focus here in Galatians. The doctrine of Romans is the focus in Galatians, and Galatians had quit adhering to that doctrine. Once again, only God could put this Bible together in a way that we could go right down that line and understand the doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Okay? And there was a mistake that they made in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Listen, the world's got a Galatian problem out there. And you know as well as I know, you can share the glorious gospel of Christ, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and see them go from death to life. And you're excited with them. And we'll get to that in a minute. You know what usually a lot of time happens. They go listen to Aunt Myrtle or Aunt Jean or Aunt, you know, or Grandma all this. You got to be what?
Baptized.
You got to join church. You know, and they give you the book of John to read. You know, and that type of thing. But chapter 3, verse 1 says, all blessed Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you?
Mm.
Now, what's that bewitched mean?
Tricked you.
Yeah, satanic.
They're tricksters out there. Smoke and mirrors. That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Question mark there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it, guys? You gonna get the spirit? We was talking about spirit a while ago. What spirit? There's a spirit of man, spirit of God. There's a big spirit, little spirit. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, Are ye now made perfect by what?
Christ.
Now that was the problem, and is what becomes a head problem. Their behavior. They know who they was in Christ, but their behavior going back under the law. Have you suffered so many things in vain? And he goes on to say, verse 1, we just read, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Somebody came along and tricked them and made them think improperly. Hey, that is easy to do out there. If you don't guard your mind, if you don't guard this doctrine, you're going to fall for a lot of things. And some of us come to the knowledge of this truth, and we can still fall from things. Because what have you been taught? Many of us has been searching for the truth since we've been small, and we want to believe God, right? Mm-hmm. But when you got tricked, you may know somebody, had gotten tricked and say, I'll never go back to church again. Mm-hmm. I'll never pick up his Bible again. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right? And you're like, I know where you're at. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. But you're God. I know where you're at. Mm-hmm. So you give them the words and you encourage them the right way. And if you keep encouraging them the right way, they may go click. You know, that is true. Maybe I do have, the problems lies with me, yeah, not with God. The problem is what I've been reading and listening to, not the Word of God. Listen, God's Word is facts. And we talked about that. You've got to have facts, not fake stuff, facts. You got to have, what is it? You don't want fake, phony, and false stuff. The world is full of that in the religious world. When I mention world, I'm not afraid to tie both of them in. A lot of people say, Ed, you might go shut down one day. You're talking about the outside. And I'm like, I'm not worried about it. You think Paul was worried about it? Mm-hmm. These people would have plucked their eyes out and gave it to Paul, but since he told them the truth, they become their enemy's sake. And he's fighting day and night from day one. He got on that road to Damascus. God told him he's going to suffer things for my sake. You and I have not even begun to suffer. I can tell you some things that's happened with my wife and I over the years, but we've learned from it. We've grown from it. We want to encourage you to stay the right course because things could happen to you. You know, it could split your family wide open when you believe this truth. After you taught them a denominational way for 50 years, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, you're going to tell me that you took me to church since I was a baby, and they taught me this, 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 and now it's not true? What do you say? You treat them like an adult, don't you? You say, listen, I've been wrong a lot of times in my life. I got to think about this the other day. You know what you're living today, you're preaching your own funeral. You ever think about that? What you're doing in your life and what the people's going to remember more of you right now than they ever have when you was a little child many of you was probably in a basket with Moses. Just joking. You know what I mean? So I said, one of these days I'm going to sit down with that camera and preach my funeral. And this is what I want you to know. You know, unless I die before you guys do, y'all preach my funeral. But I'm just saying, that would be a good thing to play. When you knew a guy that did that.
Sure did.
You know, at his funeral, he sat down and he just, that's what they played. And that's not a bad thing because you know what? You're going to tell them what they need to hear instead of take them to John and talk about Lazarus dying and God went make a place for them in mansions. You're going to give them the gospel truth. I hope you do anyway. But anyway, Galatians and Romans are great books of the Protestant Reformation too. And the reason is, Romans says, you are justified by grace through faith plus what?
Nothing.
Everything you can add to it.
Nothing.
Do you believe nothing means nothing? I hope you do. Galatians says, you stay justified by grace through faith plus nothing. So this is what you need to tell people when they get saved. It's plus nothing. I know what your flesh wants to do. Your flesh wants to do everything that they felt guilty of not doing. They are doctrinal books, and the Reformation was a doctrinal struggle. So then when you got Romans, after which Corinthians and Galatians are reproof and correction, pointing right back to Romans. That's why it's very, very important to get Romans down as the first book of doctrine. And I know many people don't like that. But you got to get that down. Justification, sanctification, glorification, dispensation, and application is there. Any of you know who J.C. Baxter was? J. Sedlow Baxter was? He was a Baptist, but his book is very, very helpful in things. And he laid out the book of Galatians, and he said, Galatians, a liberation through the gospel. And the authenticity of the gospel is in chapter 1 and 2. And that's a personal narrative. This is where I'm quoting from him, a personal narrative. And chapter 1 is like genuine as to its origin. So when you read Galatians chapter 1, it's genuine to its origin, where it came from. Chapter 2 is genuine as it's into its nature. Chapter 2 is where you find out the fact that Paul went to Jerusalem, met with Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars, and they proceeded that the gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Peter as a gospel. No. The gospel of circumcision was to Peter, as the gospel of uncircumcision to Paul, and they gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that you go to the
heathen.
They would go to the circumcision, and Paul and Barnabas would go to the heathen. And I believe this with all my heart, guys, that heathen was not you, just you and I, a bunch of Gentiles. It was the unsaved Jews too. And they all became heathen in Paul's eyes. Because if you left that council and Paul walked into a synagogue in Ephesus, just say if he did, and they're preaching the gospel, John's baptism, and they knew nothing about the Holy Spirit, would they be, we talk about little flock people, okay? Would they understood what Paul's talking about? Paul says, well, what matter when you receive the Holy Spirit? And he goes, we don't know nothing about no Holy Spirit. And Paul says, John baptized with baptism of repentance, say, believe on him who comes after me, and that was Jesus Christ. And they did believe, and the Holy Spirit was on. But what I'm getting at is, if he walked in the synagogue that wasn't saved under Peter's, James, and John's ministry of that little flock, would they be saved Jews or lost Jews?
Lost.
Would they be in a category of nation status or un-nation status? They're down here with all of us. So that's very, very important to know the genuine of that nature. Now, the next thing he talks about, the superior of the gospel in chapters 3 and 4. The doctrinal argument. Chapter 3 is in the new relationship it affects. Chapter 4, in its privileges it releases. Man, what privileges we have in grace.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing he talks about, the true liberty of the gospel. Chapter 5 and 6, the practical application. Love, service ends law and bondage. The Spirit in Christ ends flesh and bondage. So we have liberty. What's chapter 5 in Galatians say?
You stand fast in the liberty.
That's it. It says, stand fast, therefore, that the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Mm-hmm. I'll say this once, I'll say it again. The people that get saved with this glorious gospel, the grace of God, goes right back under bondage. You can't bear that bondage. And I know people, and that is what that, I believe that's one of the things they lead up to. When you get saved, you go in a, you know, you get saved, you hear the gospel, the grace of God, you join this church, not this church, you join a church, and they put a yoke of bondage on you. And it starts to weigh you down and weigh you down. You're like, you know, I know I want to do right for Christ, but it's just getting harder and harder. And they keep piling it on, piling it on, piling it on. Piling it on, piling it on. And you're like, I can't do this. And you're looking at your wife and kids, and you're thinking about them, and you're thinking about doing the right thing, and it's just piling on. And all of a sudden you says, I can't do it no more. And you go back in the law, you go back under the flesh bondage that you did before you were saved the right way. This thing, this kingdom program in the dispensation of grace has destroyed more believers' faith than anything out there. And I do know this. I do know your Holy Spirit that's inside of you does not work on the basis of ignorance. And you might have forced that thinking, the Spirit's telling me to do this. No. You know what's telling you to do that? It's your Spirit, all right. Not Satan, it's your own spirit too. Well, Satan hates this message so much, that's why he's trying to put people under bondage. Okay? Keep preaching another gospel. Which is what?
Not another gospel.
Hey, last week I ended that message talking about when you preach to a lost man, how does the word affect them and bring them to salvation. Remember that? We went over how a lost man gets saved and stuff. I want to end this message, even though Galatians, what that type of thing, give me a few minutes to explain the process of maturity and godly edification. So last week you learned about how you take a lost man and get them saved, right? This one we'll talk about how you get the process. How do you become mature after you heard the gospel and not fall back into that bondage? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is very, very important because there probably not a one of us did fall back into bondage one way or the other. Do you want to go back under bondage?
No.
Do you have liberty in Christ Jesus today? That's awesome, man.
Amen.
That's awesome. But you look out there and people almost got balls and chains around their ankles.
Treadmill.
Performance-based system. I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. I didn't get on that treadmill this morning. I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't. I said, maybe I'll do it later. For a good reason. But the babe in Christ, listen, believes the gospel, okay? We talked about this earlier. You're made up. How are you made up? Your body made up?
Spirit.
Soul and body. It's no another way around. Okay? Spirit, soul, body. Before you heard the gospel, your spirit's cut off. Your mind, your spirit, your thinking does not think the way God thinks. It's cut off. And now he needs to, once he heard that gospel, God puts that spirit, soul, body back to him. Well, this body's never going to be good enough. The body's just housing the real you. But that spirit now has a connection with the soul that it can talk with God. You can talk to God Almighty today without anything. You have total access to God. And how does he speak today?
Through his word.
Through his word. We pick up his word, and it illuminates, and it gets inside of your spirit and down in your soul, and you're like, I'm being fed. I'm being fed the right way. I'm growing to maturity. And now that babe in Christ needs to have Christ formed in him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 says, that thou mayest charge some that teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which ministers questions. What if? What if? Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. We need to teach that babe in Christ, and many of us are babes in Christ. Forget about that fables and stuff out there, but rather godly edifying through faith. And where does faith come from?
Hearing.
Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is the ministry Paul gives to Timothy, and rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so that it is to build the edifice in the believer's soul, whereby forming Christ in them. If you're going to be taught, and you're going to grow, and quit being a little bitty baby wanting milk. What was that? We was watching some kind of show last night, and there was two people, they were selling something. And they had these little puppy dogs, little fake puppy dogs. And it kept saying something. I don't know if it was burping or passing gas or something. They, this little thing, this little doggy, and they was just, found out they had to put a bottle in its mouth to shut it up. You know, so look, you can't, how many of y'all still like milk? Most people like milk.
How many still drink it?
Well, what I'm getting at is, could you still drink milk to sustain your hunger?
No.
So you give a little baby because he can't eat steak. He can't eat meat. Y'all know that. And the Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says, now the works, let me turn that. My little children. Paul calls them children, don't he?
Yeah.
Of whom I travail and birth again until Christ be formed in what?
In you.
He had to go back to the Galatians and look at them like little children.
I said they had to be born again.
Birth again.
You know what I mean? But they wasn't born again.
They
just had to reproof their behavior. Hey, we should reproof each other all the time if you think about it, if our behavior gets out of whack. You know that? And it says, as hard as it was to bring a lost soul from death to life, it is even a greater ministry to edify that babe until Christ be formed in them. The babe is saved by grace through faith, but it's nothing else. Then the average babe today is sucked, or was sucked up into that what? Religious system. And you know what? They remain babes to the day they leave that church or die. That's what's sad. When you got the mind of Christ and understand what he's doing, you can come out of that. You know what I mean? You can say, whoa, I once were that. You know, I don't care what denominational system you want to put on your backside, say I was a B or a P or M or G or, you know, go team, go. That's team what I'm fighting for. Instead of Christ being formed in them, what's being formed in them when you're part of that system?
The denominational doctrine.
There you go. That system. And that system is not helping that member of that body of Christ. That system is destroying your soul. And you're saved. I believe you're saved, sealed, and sanctified till they die. And I'm the one that thinks, I'm probably not alone. When you go to that beam of seated judgment and you're standing in front of Christ, what kind of rewards are you going to get? You're still saved. Very little. How is Christ formed in you, right quick? One, the Word of God, what? Rightly divided. If you don't rightly divide the Word, I understand God had a prophetic program, had a mystery program, and they had threefold division, time passed, but now an age has come. That's so simple understanding right there will liberate you and take you from a babe like. Now, how many of y'all sitting here right today, when you saw that rightly dividing Word of truth, you probably read over it 100 times. But when it was explained to you that it's truth from truth, and it wasn't error from truth, the whole Bible is what? From cover to cover is what?
Truth.
When you started writing and dividing the Word of truth, you're just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. That formula is starting to change a little bit. You know? Mm-hmm. Wow. Them peas, string peas, are starting to taste a little bit better than that breast milk or whatever you ate back in the day. It's your formula is changing. You're like, I'm starting to grow a little bit. Two, the intake of the Word through your spirit, and you begin to know some things. Whoa. Hey, when you went to school, now I can testify to this. There's some learning blocks that I didn't care about in school. And I did everything I can to avoid them. Run out the door, under the desk. And you know what? It hurts me today. Put a sentence together, put a pause. You know what I mean? The structure, the basic structure that you get in the elementary class, I don't think they teach that today. So I'm thinking maybe I'll find some people that knows what I know. No, that's not true. There's a basic learning structure that you get in school if you're taught right that helps you put sentences together, help you to understand, like, to whom is he writing to? Who's he speaking to? That type of stuff. Now, some of you know that, and it's stuck in your mind, and you help me with it. But you got to begin to know some things. Three, it is not until you transfer that knowledge from your spirit, your mind, to your soul, your heart, and by faith, that constant choice of your free will, believe and apply the sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. By faith, the knowledge has become acknowledged. The only doctrine that is usable and transferable in the strengthening of the believer is the doctrine stored up in your soul, which the Holy Ghost uses to energize you and made you a part of you. I know that was a mouthful, but it's the truth. When I said the Holy Spirit does not operate on the base of ignorance, it will not until you get that Word inside of you, the right doctrine, and it starts to acknowledge that you are teaching me the right things, and it starts to build up an edifice in you, and you're like, are you ready to move? You're ready to get the knowledge in you. You're ready to start standing. What little we do know, you know more than 90% of people out here in these churches that pulls up in the parking lot, unscrews their head, puts it in a glove box, and walks in the church. Because that preacher up there that I pay that big dollar salary to is doing all my thinking for me. And he wouldn't mind to me. And you don't need that Word. I know you're not falling for that, but you know people that ask. My early times, I did. Sure, you remind me back in the day when I pulled up in the church at, I slept half the time, snoring, yell, wake up, oh, is it done yet? Loud, people's looking, you know.
It's a great eat, right?
Gotta go. I showed up in my Sunday's best. Four, rooted and grounded in truth, forming Christ in the believer. You got to be rooted and grounded. Hey, if you got seeds sowed out there on that parking lot, how is it rooted and grounded? Some of you know exactly how to cultivate things. You got green thumbs. You can plant a rock and it grows another rock. You know, or beans and cornbread. You're not cornbread, but you know what I mean. You can grow things. That's the same thing having that doctrine inside of you. It's got to be rooted and grounded. Must be oriented to the grace, Romans. What does Romans 16:25 says? To him that established you according to
my
gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the time the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. That's got to be down inside of you. That's got to be the foundational truth that we need to know when we get out there and have a battle waging in our mind. Which direction do I go? What do I need to say? My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? Hey, did Mark preach to Jesus Christ? Revelation of Jesus Christ? You better look at it again.
Mark?
Does not Mark 1 say that? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, according to the mystery.
That's the key. Yeah. But didn't, let's see. The beginning of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But is it according to the revelation of the mystery?
No.
Listen, guys. God had this plan long before he had this plan. And he had this plan for a reason, because he knew Satan's going to fall. And what would have happened if that was been exposed back here? What's Corinthians say? If the prince of this world had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Whoa. So they did not know. So that's why Satan hates this message. He hates the simplicity of it. You gotta marvel up. You gotta muddy the water up. You gotta put them back under bondage. No.
It exposes his ignorance.
The provision of God and his program, the overall plan of God's equal foundation. Then the measure of faith, application of doctrine to the details of life. That's Romans chapter 12. You have to apply that doctrine of Romans into your life to get anything out of it. Anything. Everything that he taught you in chapters 1 through 5, chapters 6 through 7, chapter 9 through 11, of chapters 12 through 16, you take that, what you learned, put it down inside of you, and you move on it. You move on it. Then the fruits of righteousness, true holiness of God's glory, peace and joy, relaxed mental attitude, joy and true happiness. You're starting to mature. Hey, you're tying your own shoes. You're putting your own pants legs one at a time. You're starting to tie your buttons.
Tie your buttons.
Oh, what do you call them?
Button your buttons.
Button your buttons. You know, people today don't like polos. They prefer t-shirts over polos because it's got that little collar. They don't like buttons. I don't think Josh liked buttons when we was growing up. He looked at them. I think he thought there was hair on them. That, you know, the buttons, it was so strange. People don't like the buttons. And when they button, sometimes they're... Hey, I was in boot camp one time, and I was a squad leader. And they turned us loose to go out. And when I came back, they said, Yarber, come here, man. We're going to have to take you squad leader away. I'm like, what's going on? My buttons in my locker was off one. Well, they demoted me.
You dress like Daryl.
Yeah, in my locker. Yeah, you know. So I'm like, to this day, I'm making sure I start at the top and go down instead of start at the bottom and go up. You ever did that? You go up and you're like, wait a minute. But anyway, you get that in you. Happiness and joy, mental attitude, the agape love, the value, esteem the things that God values and esteems. Now you're looking at it the way God looks at it. Not the way you and I. Listen, when you and I look at things today, it's through these glasses, if you want to put them on. Some of you probably can't see out of them, how big they are. But the thing is, they're going to look at things wrong with what God looks at. I tell people all the time, whether it's flat earth or round earth, I don't care. But God, when some things that David wrote in Psalms, David wasn't looking up to God doing this. He's looking down at what God was seeing and what he was doing. So you got to see it through God's eyes. You got to read it through God's mind. Then the result in Christ being formed in you, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go there and we're closed. 1 Timothy chapter 3.
Chapter 3 what?
Start with verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church of God, the house of God. First of all, where does God dwell today?
In the hearts of believers.
In the body.
That's right. You're a temple of God today. Your body. Okay, that's why I believe you should take care of it. I honestly believe you should take care of it. As a young man sitting back there, he still works today, as probably did 30 years ago.
Harder.
And if he didn't take care of his body, guess what? He wouldn't be working. Mm-hmm. But what I mean is, the Bible says that God no longer dwells in temples made with what?
Hands.
And he delivered you. But this also, we're in the house of God. We're together, right?
Yeah.
So guess what this church should do? It's a living pillar of God and should what?
Should reach out.
Reach out, not only reach out, but know that's true, that you can grow. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, I know what a lot of people takes that to be.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Where at?
In his earthly ministry.
That's not what this says. God in the flesh is manifested right here. This is where God's manifested today. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Now, see, that should tell you it's not Jesus Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
When was Jesus Christ ever preached to the Gentiles?
Not until he rose again.
Only through Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Believed in on the world and received up to glory. Hey, one thing about this right quick. Mystery of godliness, that's the body of Christ. How do we know? How do you know God was manifested in the flesh? How do you know? How do you know God is manifested in the flesh today?
Through his words.
What? Through us, but not only what? What's it?
His word.
His word. That's how you know God's manifested today. It's not through books. And you know what's strange is that people will believe, if I heard this correctly, y'all know who Louis Farrakhan is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know he got up in front of a group of people and talked about a wheel in the sky? A colored wheel. It was going around and he was going to get caught up in that wheel. And that wheel's going to tell them, he taught this. And I'm listening to this. I listen to a lot of things. People would believe that than believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not picking on one person. A lot of people... Like that guy that died. He had that radio program. Big dollar radio program. And he talked about Jesus was coming May 16th. Jesus is coming. All these people picks a day that the Lord's coming back. And I'll never forget this. May 16th, May whatever. Dan and Jacob. And Josh myself. went to watch Cincinnati play Indians. We're sitting up high, and clouds started moving in. And that's the same day this big radio preacher man just said that the Lord's coming back. The Lord's, you know, the rapture, the blah, 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 the end of time. And these clouds come around, and Josh poked me, he goes, "Dad, clouds." He was paying attention. I said, "The Lord ascend on a cloud, and a voice of archangel." You know, like, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:05 came by. Some guy stood up in front of us. "We're still here. We're still here." I know what you're doing. Now, was it, and it kind of messed me up, because was he mocking the God of the Bible?
Or the guy who got it wrong.
Yeah.
That's who he was really mocking. But at the same time, people will follow people like that and put thousands of dollars into the programs and buy hundreds of books and support that type of stuff, but they won't support this little gospel that we preach. You know, Grace Ministries, they're not, there's thousands of us around the world, but there ain't a lot of people that supports a true Grace Ministry. You know what I mean? I'm talking about whether you want to support it financially or here with your Bible. This means a lot. You know, we're thankful that we meet where we meet right now. Our tax dollars is paying for it right now. But there could be a time, and, you know, I may mention about calling a radio station, and they give us a couple of 30 seconds of advertisements. And Brother Tom said, "Sure as we do, they're probably closing us out here again." You know, when you get an advertisement, I'm thinking, "Oh, well, should we put money towards that?" But it's not that expensive. But what I'm saying is, you and I believe, if we preach unto the Gentiles the way Paul preached to the Gentiles, and keep it straight and keep it simple, they'll believe this gospel. And I don't care what your background was, religion was, today is the day of salvation, guys.
Amen.
Okay? We don't sleep. We know this gospel. We're standing for truth, and we're standing for God's word, and we have the truth, guys. And if you're listening out there today for the first time, and you never heard the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, this is the gospel that saves. It's no other gospel that will be preached that will save you in the dispensation of grace, plus nothing else.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. And thank you for the love that you have, and the love that you have shown through people that's taught us, and the love that you have given through your Son, Christ Jesus, that he came to this earth and died and buried and rose again for our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. Until next week. God bless.